Oh, praise God, praise God. Had to bring that song back for you guys. I know it's been a long time since some of you guys have been in children's ministry. But I'm praising God. I'm praising God. I said, I'm praising God. Are you? Yeah. Hallelujah. You know, I listened to that video, and as I was listening to that video, it was just so beautiful. Because the fact of the matter is that sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget how simple just a few lines can be. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. And I don't know if you guys remember the day that you made that declaration in your life. But I do. Because I remember that when I made that declaration in my life, I was in a bad place. I was in a very bad place. I can't pull this any further away from my face. But I praise God. You know, when you're about to share a testimony, the devil's going to try and do what he needs to do. When you're about to actually do the word, hold on. You know when the devil's about to get mad when you're about to share a word? And that means today the word is going to be real good. Not because of me. Not because of me. Nobody comes to church on Sunday to hear what I got to say. That's what Wednesday's for. I'm kidding. They don't come on Wednesday to hear what I got to say either. They come for the free snacks. But praise God, if you come to church, if you come to church, if you come here to the house of God to hear what the preacher has to say, you're listening for the wrong thing. I'm praying that as you come in here that you're waiting and you're waiting to hear what it is that God has to say for you, because he has crafted a message for you to hear. And it can be the same message that everyone hears, but it impacts them differently. Because how many of us know that we are all in different seasons in our lives? We are all in different places in our walks. We are all in different places, but we all serve the same God. We all serve the same God. And our God has a different mission for each and every single one of us. And I'm praying that what you hear today would be something that impacts not just the eardrum, that it wouldn't be just something that sits nicely on your heart, but that it would be a word that penetrates your very spirit today. Because I know that as I was preparing for today, each and every single week that we come up here to share a word, and any of the pastors can attest to this, there is a fight that takes place. There is a battle that takes place. And Ms. Bridget was up here. She was talking about connections and how sometimes that spiritual battle takes place and it begins to show itself on the outside. And we begin to say, oh, you know, yeah, those clouds look pretty dark. Looks like a tornado. Yeah, tornado. That's what it is. Huh? Or we'll use the classic line from the scriptures. There's a lion outside. Surely I can't go out there, for it will devour me. And I eat a lot of food with a lot of seasoning, so that lion's going to know. One look. Spiritual ASMR. But you know, that fight that takes place is just proof. Proof that what God has for you to do is so important, so impactful, that the devil will do everything he has to do to stop you from doing it. And I hope that you understand that. And as we go into today's service, as we go on and we're talking about today's or this month and this quarter, this year's thematic things that we brought forth, God is so intentional with the way that he chooses these themes, right? It's not that we just sit in a room for 15 hours choosing themes, right? It's been reduced to 12. It's not just we like, oh man, those are some really pretty words, or that's a really cool theme, right? We sit there, honestly, we pray well before we get into that meeting that God will reveal to us what it is that needs to be ministered as we go along in the process. And this month is no mistake. God is very intentional. We're talking about new life. We're talking about renewable energy. We're talking about a brand new start. And when I think of the concept of renewable energy, we have to be clear with regards to what it is that we're talking about as far as renewable energy goes, right? So let's talk about what's the actual definition of renewable energy as the way that the world defines it, right? It's an energy from a source that is not depleted when used, such as wind or solar power. I know you guys have been driving around. You see all those solar farms they're putting up everywhere, right? This is one day you see cows, next day you see solar farms. It's like that was a weird transition. But it's something that continues to produce energy, right? Even when we don't see the wind, well, not, if you see the wind, you're Pocahontas. Come on, man. Oh, don't break out in song, Raphael. So when you don't feel the wind, doesn't mean that it's not there, right? The wind is ever moving. The wind is ever present. When the sun goes down, it doesn't just turn off. Praise God for that. The sun is constantly pouring out energy, constantly pouring out light, right? And it doesn't matter what we do. It's not like the sun is like, oh my gosh, more solar panels? I only got but so much energy to give you. The sun just does what the sun does. Why? Because that's what God said. That's what God intended, right? And so what does that look like from a spiritual sense? What does that look like according to the scripture? Well, you heard it a little bit earlier in Isaiah 40, beginning of verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. Does not become weary or tired. And that's great. That's awesome. He's God. You would hope he doesn't get tired. Because if he did, we'd all be in a lot of trouble. Right? If God ran out of energy, if God ran out of strength, if God ran out of patience, we'd be in real trouble. This child of God. Any of you with kids ever use that line? Oh, sweet child of God. If you do not finish your food, you don't see God up there. Sweet child of God, if you do not do what I told you to do, I will have a switch follow you up. But God doesn't run out. It's everlasting. He's God. What's awesome is that God ain't cheap. God doesn't have this everlasting strength and say, it's mine. It says that his understanding inscrutable. His understanding, we can't even begin to comprehend it. And the next verse is proof of that because it says, he gives strength to the weary. And to him who lacks might, he increases power. And though youths grow weary and tired and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. God says, I have a source of energy that will never be depleted. And as long as I have a source of energy that will never be depleted, you will never grow weak. You will never grow tired. You will never be in a place where you don't have enough, because I have plenty. God says that he will provide your every need, but there's a caveat to that. There's a caveat to that. It says, those who wait for the Lord. Those who wait for the Lord. You see, the world today, they're all about, yeah, I'm just making moves. Got to do what I got to do. I don't make a move until God says move. If God tells me I got to be in the same place for 10 years, I'm in the same place for 10 years, because I'll have more success in the same place for 10 years than someone that's trying to make moves for 10 years just getting to the ultimate plan, which is failure for them, because God has victory for me right where I am. Because he said so. Because he said so. And it takes patience to wait on God. When you see everyone around you getting the promotion you thought you deserved, when you see people getting the new cars that you thought you deserved, when you see your friends and your family getting married, having babies, and they're getting the things you feel you deserved, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Because you'll go on, mess around, and get into the wrong relationship, get married to the wrong person, have the baby with the wrong person, and you're going to be in a whole heap of trouble because you didn't wait on the Lord. You go ahead and get a promotion and get a job that'll take you away from the work of the ministry, take you away from your family, take you away from everything that God said is important to you, because you thought money was better than God. Wait on the Lord. He's going to give you what you need. He's going to give you strength so that when you're in a position where you do have to run, you won't get tired. When you're in a position where you have to walk, you won't grow weary. Whatever it is that you need, our God's got the strength to get it through. Amen? Amen. And so what we want to talk about today is a little thing I like to call being rinsed, reused, and redeemed. Hallelujah. You hear me? Don't get it confused. I didn't say recycled. But are we ready for the word of God today? Yes. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now and we give you thanks, O Lord. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would just use me as your vessel here this morning, O God. I pray that the words from your throne room would be uttered from my lips, Heavenly Father. I pray, O God, that you would just bypass my own mind, O God. Bypass my ability to make sense of the word that you have for us here today, O God. I pray, Heavenly Father, that this word that you bring forth today, O God, that it would not just rest on ears, rest on hearts, O God, but that it would stir up spirits, O God, and that you, Heavenly Father, would just have us get the unction to move and do something, O God, for your will and for your work, O Lord, for your kingdom needs to continue to expand, O God, so that your reach can continue to expand, O God, so that the people who are in need of redemption would receive this gift, Heavenly Father, and that you would just have your way here in this service today, O God, and I pray that above all things, O Lord, that you, God, would be the one to receive all of the glory, all of the honor, all of the praise, oh God, because you are worthy of these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And so again in Isaiah 40, 31, it says, those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run. They will not get tired. They will walk and they will not become weary. And so in preparation for this, I said, Lord, I know that there's you offer so many examples of this lifestyle. And Lord, I don't want to just go up and just share my testimony again and again and again, Lord. A lot of people know my testimony. If you don't, it's okay. I'm a cheap date. You can take me out. All of a sudden, everybody got quiet. I don't know about that, Pastor. Yeah, I'm kidding. I love sharing my testimony. But the fact of the matter is, I said, Lord, I don't want people to hear my testimony. I want people to hear your word. And so, Lord, give me the word. Give me the word that you want to share here today. And he brought me to a gentleman by the name of Saul. All right? Some of you guys may know him as Paul. But everybody's got a story. Everybody has a story. Everybody has a I once was in their life. If someone doesn't have an I once was in their life, they haven't met Christ. Because if you know Jesus, you've had a I once was, right? And so in Acts 9, beginning of verse 1, it says, now Saul still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, starting off high, right? Threats and murder, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And so we see that Saul, he's making it very clear, and I find it ironic, he's asking for letters from the synagogues, and in a short while, he's going to be the one that's writing them, right? And he says, I want your authority, I want your permission to go out and get people who are doing the work of Christ, but I want your authority to do it no holds barred. I want to take the men, I want to take the women, if they even utter the way, I'll drag them here on the back of a horse. Because he says, I love the law. And so he gets those letters. And he begins his journey. And as he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus. And suddenly, a light from heaven flashed around him. A light. Almost like solar energy. A light from heaven flashes around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Why are you asking who you are and then saying who he is in the same sentence? He says, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And I love this verse, because I need you to hear something. We read this, and we read it for what it is. But as I was reading it, I said, Lord, I wish the world could hear this line that you said to Paul. Because it says, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. The letters that he got from the synagogue, did it say that he was going out looking for Jesus? It said he was looking for the people who worship Jesus. Yet Jesus is talking to Paul and says, Paul, it's me, Jesus. I'm the one you're persecuting. I wish the world would hear the words, when you persecute the people of God, you persecute God himself. Hear me, church. When people pursue the people of God, they pursue Jesus himself. So my prayer is constantly, God, forgive them because they don't know what they do. They do not know what they do. Because I can tell you countless times in my own life when I was at work, and all of a sudden I would, and listen, again, this got nothing, it's not to do with me, it has everything to do with Jesus. I would get into a place at work and things would begin to thrive. People were like actually enjoying each other's presence. Oh, can you imagine that? People, there was no backstabbing. There was all of a sudden things were increasing. People are enjoying life. And then all of a sudden somebody would come against me. And I'm like, all right, Lord, forgive them. Forgive them. And it would get heavy. It would get hard. My wife will attest to this. There'll be times where I'm like, I'm coming to her. I'm like, babe, I'm about to quit today. I'm quitting today. And she's like, no, you ain't. We got bills. I was like, you're right. But I would pray. I was like, Lord, make a way or get me out. Make a way or get me out. I'm like, Lord, if you want me to stay, then get me to a place where I'm in a place where I can stay. But if I have to stay and deal with it, give me the strength to overcome. And so I stick it out. Listen, I just got a letter in the mail. 15 years in my company. 15 years. That's a long time. That's a long time. Because I was a terrible employee in the beginning. Terrible employee in the beginning. That's where I met my wife. Ask her. She won't pull any punches. She was like, yeah, he sucked at his job. But for God, who made a change in my heart that resulted in a change on the outside, which resulted in me actually doing my job, not for myself, but for his glory and his honor, because I recognize the fact that if I'm going to stay, I got to represent him. And so I did. And the next thing I know, I'm getting promotions, and I'm like, I'm out of here. Next place, right? But you know what's crazy? I leave. And the place that I left all of a sudden begins to fall apart. The place that I left all of a sudden begins to fall apart. Again, it's not anything to do with me. But if the people of God are in a place and it's not thriving, check yourself. Because if you are amongst the people of God, your circle, your atmosphere, there should be blessings upon blessings. There should be shift upon shift. There should be situations that when people come into your atmosphere, they come into the atmosphere of God and recognize, I better change myself because there's a person here representing God. And we're going to see this a little bit later. And so Jesus, he goes on and he says, you're persecuting me, Saul. It's me, the one that you're persecuting. And it says, but get up and enter the city and it will be told to you what you must do. The men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. And it says that Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. And I want you to just focus on the beginning part of this. It says, Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. Saul just had an interaction with Jesus, unlike most people today who call themselves Christians have had interactions with Jesus. And he still couldn't see. Church, just because you know the name Jesus, just because you recited a prayer or walked down the Roman road, doesn't mean you've accepted Jesus. Because you see, Saul had an interaction with Jesus. But we find later, once he receives him, is when the scales fall from his eyes. Because it goes on and says, it was 3 days without sight that he had. 3 days. And he neither ate nor drank. He got forced into a fast. It says, now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. Here I am, all giddy and happy. He's like, the Lord's calling me? Yes. Listen, don't get too excited when the Lord calls. Because you don't know what comes next. Next thing you know, you might be starting a church. And then you hear the Lord says to him, get up, go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. And this is also such an important part of this. It says that Saul is praying, but God is somewhere else. Saul is praying, but God is somewhere else. Saints, how many of us have been praying a prayer saying, God, I need this change in my life, and we just feel like things aren't changing? Have patience, because while you're praying, God is speaking to the people he needs to speak to answer your prayer. Just because it doesn't seem like things are changing right now doesn't mean that God isn't changing things. We have been praying prayers, some of us, for 10 years. God, I'm praying for my son. I'm praying for my daughter. I'm praying for my husband. I'm praying for my wife. I'm praying for my father. I'm praying for my mother. I'm praying for finances. I'm praying for my job. I'm praying for this. I'm praying for that. And we say, God, I've been praying this for 10 years, and it doesn't seem like things are moving. God is moving, but understand, it takes time to move mountains. It takes time to lift up valleys. It takes time for the things to shift in this world that need to shift in order for you to receive the answer to the prayer that you've been praying. Because the people of God, we need to stop praying little prayers. You need to pray big prayers, because you serve a big God. And when you pray big prayers, God makes big moves. Because you see, Saul went into Damascus thinking that he was going to go and bind some people up. But what he didn't realize, he was going to Damascus to be unbound and set free. Saints, men make their plans, but God directs the steps. Be obedient enough to take the step that Jesus has first taken. And so it goes on, and Ananias, he says, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. What happened to, yes, Lord, I'm here? What happened? Right? But God said, I need you to go do this, and I need you to go do it post haste. He says, but the Lord says to him, go, for he's a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. And saints of God, that's a powerful line. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. You know, I preface this with the fact that it's a fight to get up here at the altar, man. It is a fight. You will go through things that don't make any doggone sense. You will have 6 months of peace in your house. No fights. Everything is great. Bills are getting paid on time. Everyone's happy. Then the Lord sends you on a mission, all hell breaks loose. It's true. All of a sudden, people start fighting in your house. Things start getting crazy at your job. Your children, I'm just going to leave it there. Little angels is what I'm declaring. Right? But it is a fight. And you know, those fights, they can be an inconvenience, but what happens when you transition from doing a little work to a huge work where it turns into suffering? When now you're facing a job loss. Now you're facing a loss in your family. Now you're facing real, real persecution. I'm not talking about people just calling you names. I don't care. Call me a bigot. I don't care. I'm talking about when they start acting on it and they start calling your job and when they start calling people out trying to get you fired. Are you still going to be saying, Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior? because it says, I'll show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. And you know why I love that and I receive that? Because before he said this line, he said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Because you see, Jesus, before he says this line, said, Raphael, you're worth dying for. And if he said, Raphael, you're worth dying for, my only response is, Jesus, you're worth suffering for. Because saints, I know you're watching the news. Things are crazy right now. A lot of people are concerned. But I'm going to tell you, what if things don't get better? They get worse. Call on that name. Call on that name. Because there's a whole lot of us who need a whole lot more strength. Hallelujah. And now I talked about having that authority when you walk into your space, right? Because God, when he sends you to carry out a work, he's not going to just send you and be like, Holy Spirit, watch how this works out. He doesn't do that. He goes with you, right? And it says, Ananias departed and entered the house. And after laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ananias walked in there. He didn't ask any questions. He didn't have any small talk. He walked in. He said, laid hands. Boom. He just looked for the guy like this. Right? Looking emaciated. He said, that's Saul. Boom, Brother Saul, I'm Ananias. He walked in and he said, I'm coming in here with the authority of the Holy Spirit. And when I come in here, there's going to be healing. There's going to be change. There's going to be a work of God that takes place in this house. That's how we should be walking into work every day. That's how we should be walking into work every day. You got trouble in your marriage? That's how you should be walking into your marriage every single day. You got trouble with your kids? That's how you should be walking into your kids every day. Don't spare that rod. And he goes on. It says, immediately, there fell from his eyes something like scales. And he regained his sight. And he got up and was baptized. Baptized. Some would say he was rinsed. It's like a movie. You got to say the title of the movie in the movie. Some would say he was rinsed, right? It says those scales fell from his eyes. And as soon as those scales fell from his eyes, he received sight. As soon as he could see, he got up and was baptized. You see, saints, when we have an interaction with Jesus and then receive Jesus, that's when the scales fall. And when the scales fall, you'll have no other action you want to take than say, Lord, baptize me, I'm yours. And I need the world to know what you've done for me. And it says, he took food and was strengthened. Now, for several days, he was with the disciples who were at Damascus. And immediately, he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying, he is the Son of God. There was no debate. There was no deliberation. The scales fell. He was baptized. And he said, Jesus is God. And he says, all those hearing him continue to be amazed. Continue to be amazed and we're saying, is this not who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on this name? And who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests? Again, saints, when you accept Jesus and he does a work in your heart, it has to result in a change on the outside to the point where they say, he's not who he once was. She's not who she once was. If you get Jesus in your heart, and you come to work the next day and people don't see a change, I'm going to let that cook a little bit. Because I can tell you, the day I accepted Jesus, I came into work the next day like a wild man. You could ask, again, ask my wife. As you can see, there's a theme here. If you got questions about me, just ask my wife. I came in and I said, "You'll never believe what happened to me. You never believe what happened." She's like, "What's wrong with this man?" And I told her everything that happened, and she said, "You're right, I don't believe it." That's the response that you want. That's the response that you want when people hear that you just accepted Jesus. "I don't believe it. You are too damaged. You were too much in sin. You were too broken. You were too much of the world in order to be one of Jesus' followers." When people start telling you that, you say, "Thank you." You say, "Thank you." Because you've come to the same realization that I came to, that I was too broken, too damaged, too no good to be of any use to anyone. So I needed Jesus so that I can be used by someone. His name is Jesus. Some would say he was reused. It says, "But Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived at Damascus by proving this Jesus is the Christ." Saints, the second that Saul received Jesus in his life, he continued to increase in strength the more he proclaimed the name. The more he proclaimed the name. Now, I want you to soften your hearts for what I'm about to say. Because I will never say something to you that doesn't first apply to me. Because when God said this to me, I had to check myself. Do you feel weak or depleted because you haven't had enough sleep? Do you feel weak and depleted because things have been a little stressful at your job? Or do you feel weak and depleted because you forgot the name of Jesus? Do you feel weak and depleted because you forgot who you serve? Do you feel weak and depleted? Do you feel defeated because you forgot that your King has already provided you a victory? When I heard that, I had to say, "Forgive me, God. Forgive me." Because too often I use that excuse. "Oh, I just haven't had enough sleep. Oh, you don't understand. You don't understand the troubles that I'm going through. That's why I'm stressed." No, see, saints, what we don't understand is sometimes all we need to do is say Jesus and watch things happen. Because the more we proclaim the name of Jesus, the more strength you're going to receive. The more you proclaim the name of Jesus, the more you're going to be renewed. The more you declare the name of Jesus, the more the devil flees. So the next time you're feeling down and defeated, just call on Jesus. Hallelujah. And so the story continues with Saul, now known as Paul, in 1 Timothy 1, 12 to 17. "I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service." There's that reused again. God took him out of something that resulted in nothing and put him into something that results in freedom, liberty, in actual change in this world. It says, "Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor," call it what it is, Paul, you are a murderer. "Yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant. With the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for your grace, God. Thank you for your grace. And it goes on, it says, it is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Verse 16, he brings it home and says, yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. I am so thankful for Jesus. Because you see, it says, as Paul is writing this letter, he's already received that salvation. He's already receive the commission to do the work. But he still speaks as he is still currently a sinner. Because we have to come to a realization that becoming a Christian doesn't automatically make you a perfect person. It doesn't automatically turn you into, or you don't go from frog to prince because you said, I accept Jesus, right? Keep that for Disney, or don't. But the fact is that we are all still works, and Paul makes it very clear. I still fall short. And every time I recognize the fact that I still fall short, it reminds me how much I need Jesus. Every time I fall short, it reminds me that I need Jesus. I can tell you as a pastor, I have never, like before I used to think people were looking towards my downfall, but as soon as I became Pastor Raphael, they came out of the woodwork, boy. Let me tell you. They came out of the woodwork. They're like, oh, you a pastor? Oh, we're watching you. Every word, every action, right? But the word perfect doesn't precede pastor. Don't call me perfect pastor. Don't call me perfect pastor. Because you know what happens? People become so holy that they become vessels filled with holes that start to leak out the grace, love, and faith that God was pouring in. And they forget how much they needed it. That when they need to give it out, they have none left. And sometimes I have to remind myself, understand, there's no one perfect in this world. And because there's no one perfect in this world, there will always be a need for faith, love, grace, and mercy. And why? For one reason, so Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. If people need to see my imperfection so that they can achieve eternal life, then use me, God. Put that light on me, and every time I mess up, let people see it. Every time I mess up, let them judge it. Why? So that they can see. I'm not gonna hide behind the mask of I have Jesus, he's given me grace, and now I can do what I want. Because he doesn't want that either. But I will hide behind is that crutch that people say that Christians have. Yes, I need that crutch because I can't walk on my own. I don't have the strength to walk on my own. I have two crutches and a boot. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because at the end of the day, I can't do this on my own. But here's the key. When we goof up, when we mess up, Own it. God, I messed up today. Forgive me. And then turn from it. Don't say, God, I messed up. I'm sorry. And then go rob the bank again. Right? Turn from it. Repent. And sometimes people won't forgive you even after you ask for forgiveness, even after you repent. They won't forgive you. But that's all right. You know why? Because guess what? Grace, love, and faith applies to you too. And so when people won't forgive you, forgive them. Let it go. Let it go. Listen, I recognize where I fall short. One prayer I have to constantly pray is, God, keep me from pride. Because when I don't want to forgive someone, guess what? They're not the ones that are sinning anymore. I am, because I'm in pride. Oh, I know you asked for forgiveness, but I ain't giving it. You got to earn that. Really? I don't know what Bible you read. Last time I checked, you can't earn Jesus because he already gave it for free. And Jesus is the embodiment of forgiveness. And if he is faithful enough to forgive me, oh, I am certainly able to forgive you. Help me, Lord. And so it goes on, and I love it. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God. To him be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Because you see, hallelujah, Paul recognizing, I was the sinner, I'm the one who fell, but Jesus did the work. And so when you see the things that I've done, when you see the successes that I have had, when you see the way that God has blessed me, don't praise me, praise God. Don't forget who is the provider. Don't forget who is the healer. Don't forget who is the banner. It ain't you. It's Jesus. I love that song that we sang during worship. Went through all his names. And those are the only names that we can even begin to understand. Because he's so much more than just those things. It's not just names. That is who he is. That is the essence of who God is. He is Jehovah Rapha, not just in name, but he is the healer. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so it goes on into 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 8. We want to talk about that redemption part now, right? What does it mean? You've been rinsed, you've been reused. But what does the redemption look like? I want you to understand something. Redemption and salvation are actually not the same thing. You accept Jesus, you've received salvation unto sin, right? But redemption, that doesn't stop with you. And we're going to see what that looks like. It says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. That is the redemption process. You see, once you have received salvation, God has redeemed you, and because you've been redeemed, there's a work that needs to be done. You see, I've never been hired for a job and then just sat in a desk and waited for Jesus to come back. Right? You don't get hired for a job and then just sit at a desk and be, oh, we're just waiting on the next promotion. You get hired to do something. You get redeemed to do something. You don't just receive salvation and get redemption and be like, whoo, that was close. Next stop, heaven. It's not how this works, right? I want you to understand something. What if Pastor Shelley, Pastor Miho, and Pastor Raphael received salvation and then just stopped there? What if we just stopped? We're in. I accepted Jesus. Radical change, but that was it. Right? Maybe God would have somebody else at this pulpit because the word of God goes, right? And he's going to use who he uses. But how many people aren't being impacted by the gospel because of you not wanting to actually carry out the rebuke, the exhortation, the reproving that God has called you to do? And then there's the other side of the coin. There's people who are real quick to reprove, rebuke, and exhort, but they forget the next part with great patience and with instruction. You see, when I'm at work, there's instruction that's given to me. There's tasks that are given to me that I need to carry out. And I carry out the tasks that my boss has told me to carry out. I don't just log into work and be like, oh, what can I do on my own today? Go do somebody else's job, right? God has called you to carry out certain things. God has called you to certain instruction. Don't just go out to people. Lamps burning is about to take place. Like Bridget said, she's not throwing herself on people. They don't have a box of Bibles that they're slinging at people. Right? But what they have is the presence of the Holy Spirit to know when to speak and when to be silent. When to rebuke, when to rebuke, when to reprove, when to exhort. They have that instruction that they receive, that they carry out. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. If that's not what we're seeing today, my prayer is that for the generations to come, the only thing that will come from this pulpit is the truth of God's word. We're called to love people. But love looks like love when it's truth. When people come through those doors as sinners, embrace them. I don't care what they look like. I don't care what they smell like. Right? You love them. But don't you dare rob them of the truth. When the world is accumulating for themselves the doctrine that they just want to hear so that their ears get tickled, slap that devil's hand and let them hear what it is that God has to say. It says they'll turn away their ears from the truth. And they'll turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Everyone in this room has a ministry that they've been called to. Just because you don't have a title like pastor or deacon or deaconess, trustee, whatever, archbishop of the high king, the only title that you need is son or daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And with that comes the responsibility to fulfill the ministry that God has called you to. If you're at work, that's your ministry. If you're at school, that's your ministry. If you're Alex, you're ShopRite, that's your ministry. Right? Wherever you are, that's your ministry. And certainly there are people out there that have been gifted with the gift of evangelism, but don't get the gift of evangelism confused with the order to be an evangelist. Because what that means is that God has called you to share what he's done in your life so that people know he can do it in theirs. You may not have the words to say. You may not know what to do. But God has deposited a gift in you. Use that gift. Use that gift. I don't care what it is, right? You could start the first Orange County Gospel Fellowship Horseback Riding Club. Just ride the horse and bring him to Jesus. We got a trail. I'm telling you. There's a lot more people riding motorcycles in this church. I see a lot of skull and crossbones on the back of people's vests and everything. Y'all need to start mounting up and start putting Jesus on the back of your vest. Driving down 17, all they see is a bunch of disciples. Wonder where they're going. Sunday, 122A. But fulfill your ministry. Don't let the devil try to tell you it's cloudy outside. It's the month of May. Don't start singing. But the fact is that you have a ministry that you've been called to. Carry it out. And he goes on, he says, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. In the future, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And the Lord is very, very, very conscious of his word. Because you see, as Paul is signing off, he's saying to all who have loved his appearing, because that is his testimony. You see, Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. And he said, and ever since he appeared to me on that road, I've been doing the work of the ministry. I've been running the race. I've been fighting the good fight. And saints, I don't want to make it sound like it's easy. I don't want to make it sound like it's easy. Just go out there and first person you see, they're coming to Jesus today. Right? It's not easy. It's actually very hard, especially in today's climate, to try and share the word of God. But in the moments when it's hard, in the moments where it seems impossible, in the moments where you feel you don't just have what you need to get the work done, I want you to remember, those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Saints of God, that is not a maybe. It says they will. And so if you are weak, God will make you strong. If you are tired, He will give you strength. When you feel like you just can't take another step, He will mount you up with wings like eagles. When you feel like you're at the end, God reminds you, I have been here since the beginning. I will be here with you now. And I will be here with you till the end. Just wait on me. And when you do, you too and those out in the world will be able to be rinsed, reused, and above all, redeemed. Amen. Hallelujah. Will you worship God with me today? Hallelujah. Well, let's worship. Hallelujah.
As we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked, one by one, the enemy has whispered lies and led them off as slaves. But we know that you are God, yours is the victory. We know there is more to come that we may not yet see. So with the faith you've given us, we step into the valley unafraid.
We call out to dry bones to come alive. You know what the beauty of dry bones are? It doesn't take much of a flame to set them on fire. It doesn't take much. So all you need is to call on that name of Jesus. I know that there are some of us here today, we have heavy hearts. We've experienced great suffering. We've experienced things that people cannot even begin to understand. But you know what we all have in common? We have all experienced Jesus. We have experienced His healing power. We have experienced His provision. We have experienced the breaking free of strongholds. We have experienced the coming down of walls. And I'm telling you right now, whatever it is that you've gone through, whatever it is that you've gone through, I'm about to take this microphone off and all y'all still gonna hear me. Because some of us need to be breaking free today. Some of us got to let walls come down. Some of us got to get generational curses released today. Because my God is a God of victory. My God is a God of healing. My God is a God of provision. And if He did it for me, He can do it for you too. Don't let the people who hurt you in the past stop you from experiencing the freedom that God has for you today. I don't care what you've experienced. Jesus has the answer for it. I don't care what it is that you're going through, God can bring you through it. I don't care if you think that you have gone too far for Him to ever welcome you back. There is no distance that you can travel, that you can outrun God. If you want to see Him do something new in your life today, turn around. He's been there the whole time. And saints, today is the day. Easter was not too long ago. Have you forgotten He is risen? Have you forgotten He's alive? Same way you arrived. I don't care about your past. You know why? Because God doesn't care about your past. He's more concerned with what you're about to do. What He's about to do through you. And so I'm going to close us out with this prayer, but saints of God, don't close out what God has for you today. I want you to leave this place free. I want you to leave this place filled with the Holy Spirit, so that when you walk through those doors, the world has no choice but to say, wasn't that the person who once was? So that they can see who you are in Jesus' name. Lord, we come before you. And Lord, I just pray for an impartation of your Holy Spirit here today, oh God. Lord, I pray that you would rain down Holy Ghost fire on your people, oh God. Lord, I pray that you would just show yourself, oh Lord, the same way as Paul was running through, oh God. He was proving that this Jesus was the Christ. Lord, rain Holy Ghost fire, oh God, so that we too can prove to the world you are Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And Lord, I just pray that you would just break free the chains of the past, oh God. Tear down the walls of hardened hearts, oh God, and restore hearts of flesh. God, let people be able to call on your name, the name above all names. Help us to endure. Help us, oh God, as we suffer for you, oh God. Give us the strength to run and not grow weary. Give us the strength to walk and not stumble. But God, even in the moments where we have fallen, I pray that you would just reach your hand down and pick your children up, oh God. Lord, don't let them stay down for long, oh God. Let them be able to rise up, oh God. Help them to lift up holy hands. Help them to worship you today, oh God. Help them to call on the name of Jesus. Help them to be able to operate in victory. And this we pray today for one reason alone, for you to receive all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Let us worship our God together. Hallelujah.